It's the Mornings with Ed Show, 7:45 the time. And if you're not taking this seriously yet, understand that in 61 days, 33,000 people have died in the country. 61 days, 33,000 deaths, okay? It is time to take it seriously. There's a couple of words that people are just kicking around, and those words are herd immunity. And herd immunity is something you may have heard about from other flus and pandemics in the past. But amid Governor Gavin Newsom's scenario of a post-sheltering world, those are two incredibly chilling words, herd immunity. Here's how we see tomorrow. Waiters with masks, distant desks in offices, split shift schools. That should be the new norm. That's what he told reporters in yesterday's press briefing, at least until we have herd immunity. The phrase came up again as he explained what's ahead as we begin to transition into suppression, ultimately on our way to herd immunity and then a vaccine. And he repeated that later when describing the progress toward herd immunity. So what's herd immunity? It's when so many people have been infected and develop protective antibodies that a virus runs out of hosts. Okay, think about that. A virus has to run out of hosts. That's likely what happened in the 1918-1919 flu pandemic, which killed 20 to 40 million people and then just vanished. What does herd immunity look like today in the age of COVID-19 without a vaccine? Well, without a vaccine, about 28 million infected Californians with herd immunity. Based on current estimates, about 5% of infected people, or roughly 1.4 million Californians, would get severely ill. Of those, 840,000 could die, although there's a hope of holding that number down. The bleak strategy may be the only way through a pandemic that's causing profound economic, social, and educational paralysis. A vaccine, which also could provide herd immunity, is still a year to 18 months away, with likely additional months needed to scale up manufacturing and distribution. So when you see the press conference and how rosy the picture is painted, understand the reality behind what we're talking about here. It's very scary. Now, the governor promised light at the end of the tunnel could be instead the glaring halogens over an ICU bed. A very stark warning. Scientists at Harvard conceded the inevitability of continued infections. Now, in a set of mathematical models, that were published in the Journal of Science, I've checked these out yesterday, they proposed a strategy of intermittent restrictions that would help us approach herd immunity as slowly as possible so that our hospitals aren't overwhelmed. And rather, what they're suggesting is rather than hiding from the virus, a goal is to spread out the number of infections at any one time so fewer people die. That's what they concluded. Several different rounds of social distancing will be required to get us to that herd immunity in the absence of a vaccination. This is the concept. If a large number of people, the herd, are immune, then a vulnerable person in the middle of that herd is unlikely to be exposed. Life goes on. Now, based on early estimates of the infectiousness of this virus, we likely are going to need about 70% of the population to be immune to have herd protection. Now, that's according to Johns Hopkins School of Public Health epidemiologist David Doughty. 70%, why that number? The more contagious the virus, the more people need to be vaccinated for herd immunity to work. Contagious viruses are more likely to find that unprotected person in the herd. See, immunity to measles is reached at 90 to 95%. For polio, it's 80 to 85%. And right now, we're nowhere near that. Not even close. It's unclear exactly how far away we are because COVID-19 antibody tests are just now coming online. We're just now even talking about it, really. Back in late February and early March, only 2 out of nearly 3,000 people with respiratory symptoms were later found to have had the virus. Now, there's a lot else that we still don't know. For instance, how many Californians would die with this strategy? We can only make guesses right now, and those are models that are taking estimates and guesses. So far, the virus has killed 3% of Californians that it has infected. 3% is a high number. But the true death rate is almost certainly, probably a little lower than 3%, because many of those infected haven't even been tested. So you spread the average out. See, the vast majority of infected people, 80% in some estimates, have only mild symptoms. So how much protection do antibodies confer on people who have recovered? We don't know that either. When will new medicines blunt the impact of the illnesses? We don't know that. Could we reach the magic 70% target by infecting just young people, segregating the sick and the elderly? Maybe. But they would be the ones to pay the price. And all the data shows that youth are not invincible. I told you earlier, 10% of the deaths are people under 35. Up to one-fifth of infected people ages 20 to 24 have been hospitalized, and 2 to 4% of those required an ICU rescue. So if we're going to shoot for herd immunity, we can't overshoot it, incurring unnecessary heartbreak where you don't really need it. So if you lift restrictions now, you're doing a very dangerous thing. Yeah, sure. You create herd immunity. You're lifting restrictions. You're getting people sick and you're killing people. So the goal is to infect the most while killing the least. And that demands an exquisitely calibrated government strategy, which I'm not really confident that we have at this point. So that's the herd immunity argument. That's where we would go with that. It's 7:52. I welcome your comments at 949-715-5936. We're trying to keep you informed. KXFM in the mornings with Ed Show.